This is a Radio 1 91 FM podcast.
Program. This time we're talking to Damia Sharko about their new double single Unrest and Headlight Gold, which are releasing next Tuesday on the 23rd. We're getting some exclusives here on The One. Good morning to you, Damia Sharko. How are we doing?
Kia ora. Good, thank you. Thank you so much for having me on.
My pleasure, man. My absolute pleasure. I think this is your first time here on the program. You're joining the First Timers Club, which is super, super sick. Before we talk about the songs, I want to mention an article that you penned for Soundcheck magazine when you were asking if, or you were seeing and analysing if New Zealand is a sinking ship for the creatively minded people out there. You say that we have the ingenuity to fix the ship and ride the waves that are yet to come, but surely we need a lot more funding to do so.
Yeah, I do. I do think that, you know, there is a little bit of infrastructure problem when it comes to the finance part. And I think people did bring that up as well in the comments. But I think, you know, I'm somebody that started from nothing. So I've been able to, like, kind of fix my mental in order to build myself up from the inside out. And I really just want to encourage other people to do the same and to not limit themselves by financial barriers or anything like that, because, you know, everything I do, I do either with no money or very little money. And I think creatives are going to get creative no matter what. I truly believe in the scenes here. True. In that way,
It sort of reminded me of a thing that Half Queen from BFM said, where she was like, you know, people say that New Zealand's boring, but it's, and that, you know, they're going overseas because the economy's terrible, whatever. But also New Zealand is, like, you know, a slice of paradise. And if you look in the right places, you'll find some of the best music on the planet.
I really think so. I really, really, really agree with that. I think that there's not many places out there that have the, I don't know, like, aura that some of the musicians have here.
Yeah, completely, yeah, completely. I want to mention how you sort of write your music. You said that you write your lyrics in a very subconscious way, and in large part your music is about the self. How do you sort of consciously channel the unconscious or the subconscious?
I think, you know, when I was first writing music, it was something that I felt like, you know, through the exploration of figuring out who I was musically, I was kind of forcing myself into boxes and trying to be something that I thought I should be. And so I've kind of worked really hard to break that down. And so when I say, like, I write my lyrics subconsciously, quite literally I'm singing gibberish and then I'm listening back. And then I'm hearing the words in the gibberish, and then I'm writing it out. And so at first, I don't relate to it whatsoever. But then months later, I'll look back and I'll be like, oh, that's what I meant by that. That was actually something I can relate to. And I just kind of allow the process to flow out of me rather than struggling to try and, like, catch something or, like, make it into something I think it should be. I'm really excited for this project in particular, because it's the first time that I've allowed myself to be able to do that.
It's sort of like David Lynch has a thing about how we don't come up with ideas, we sort of catch them. You know, sort of like that.
Yeah, catch I it. Totally believe that.
It's been 3 years since your last foray into solo music, according to Bandcamp. That's what my sources tell me. How has this hiatus treated you?
So well. I've learned so much. I think that, like I said, I feel like I was kind of really trying to force myself into, like, that creative output. And so instead of, like, really jamming it out, I took those 3 years and obviously was focusing a lot on Cruelly and gigging and being in a band. But at the same time, I was studying a lot and I was learning about more about artistry and how to create and let myself create freely. So, yeah, it was studying. It was also working on the project behind the scenes. It took a very, very long time to get it to where it is now.
I think you can hear that in the music. I want to mention, you know, we talked earlier about creativity, necessity is the mother of invention or whatever. That's sort of the vibe we're talking about before. I read that for your video for Unrest, you were working on a $0 budget and that you just assembled a group of folks for a music video that was shot in San Fran. Was that quite a mission, having to arrange both a crowd and just film in San Fran? Get in contact with them.
It was, I think, the beautiful thing about Pornicare is that we have so many people that are keen to just like do it. And so I had someone that I knew put me in touch with these students that study at UB, which is a film school, and they were just like, yep, keen to do it. Because I already had like all the idea for like the concept and the shots and the vibe and the mood board and everything. So I was like, this is the idea. Do you want to do it? They're like, yes, we absolutely do. And I know Christian Bingham, who's the San Fran bar manager, and he was just like, yep, I can just let you in during the day. And so I think it was like a Sunday or something. I had this girl that I went to uni with, Frankie, who just got all of these extras that had done other work in like Runway Rhythm, Wet Denim's music videos, things like that. And it just, it kind of all came together. It was like, hey, do you want to be a part of this? Yeah. So people just kind of like were keen for it. And I'm really, really, really grateful for that, because yeah, there was no budget. I think I spent like $70 on pizzas on the day or something like that.
Nice, man. It's a lot of pizza.
Yeah, so technically the budget was $70 and it was spent on pizza.
Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle music video. Lyrically, the song was sort of born out of some social turmoil where you faced a bit of conflict from people trying to make you out to be something that you aren't. And the track is about being okay with rejection and being cast out. When did you start feeling that you were feeling better or more tolerable towards what was happening in that situation?
I think it's a strange situation, because I feel like at the time, as I was living through it, I was feeling that empowerment. But it also, you know, it raised a lot of questions on, like, my own personal ability to, like, like I say in the song, like, I will wait by myself. And that's just, like, I will wait for things to get better by myself, and I don't need anyone to wait with me. I can be alone and wait. So, you know, like, that process for me in my personal life was, you know, I think I isolated myself quite a bit. And that is kind of the general theme of the project as a whole, is, like, you know, going through rejection, also, you know, heartbreak, also, like, love, and but mostly it's about isolation and loneliness. But I mean, I really love being alone, so I'm actually fine with it.
Is that something that has been the case for most of your life, or has it been sort of a recent thing?
I think just as, you know, as you get older, it's just like, you know, I think as a teenager, I was just, you know, felt like I needed people around me all the time.
Yeah.
All the time.
Yeah.
And I think just getting older, it's just like I'm so focused on my career and I'm so focused on my artistry that it actually is better for me to be that isolated artist archetype rather than somebody that's going out all the time. And, like, you know, and I think that it is so important to live. And I think that having those experiences, like, I wouldn't have this project if I didn't have those experiences, so it's good in that way. To go out still, but for the most part, I love working on my career. That's my that's my main focus, and I like to be alone for that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, fair enough, man. I want to talk a little bit about the marketing side of things for this release, because you've said that you love marketing, and that I think it was in that article that you penned we mentioned earlier. And with this new release, there's two tracks that are coming out next Tuesday, and it got me thinking. You know, what's the benefit of releasing on a Tuesday rather than Friday, which is, I guess, the traditional music release day?
I think that the whole Friday release kind of, and maybe this is just my opinion, but I think it's oversaturated for, like, big artists. Like, I think that's, like, a big artist release day. And I remember, like, Tyler, the Creator released on a Tuesday, and he talked about why, like his reasoning why, and he said, like, you know, it means that when people are driving on their commute to work or driving home, they'll be listening to music. Like a random Tuesday is a more likely day that somebody's going to be going for a walk and listening to music, or at home listening to music, you know, on their lunch break, driving home, anything like that. Like, it's more of a resting sort of vibe rather than a Friday where people are going to be going out.
They have plans,
They've got plans. They're going to, like, do stuff. They don't want to spend time listening to, you know, some random person's music, especially, like, as a small independent artist. It doesn't make sense. But I obviously, like, you know, it doesn't matter if somebody wants to release on a Friday. But I think as a smaller artist, I think Tuesday is a good medium.
You know, it's funny, the Friday, like, release schedule only came out after Beyonce released her 2013 record on a Friday. That was like...
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it all started then. And I think it's also to do with the sort of, I guess, modern music distribution channels, like streaming services and Bandcamp and all those big things.
Like the Billboard charts or something, like something to do with the charts come out on a Friday or something like that. So it's like it doesn't really work for small artists.
Nah. I did hear that there's also going to be 6 singles for the album. I mean, how many songs are on the album? And 6 seems like that's a fair amount of singles.
Yeah, it's 10 tracks in total. But I really wanted to do like a semi-waterfall release, but something that goes on for quite a while. Because, like, I've had iterations of a band, but I don't have one right now. I'm currently starting to do that. And so, you know, I haven't released in 3 years. Like, I wanted to be something that people can interact with and invest in online first. And, like, so in order to do that, I want to have, like, it be a slow progression. But honestly, I love all of the songs on this album, so it's just so hard to, like, not get to, like, 6 singles.
Yeah, that's fair enough. You mentioned you're trying to find a band. Does Wellington suffer from the similar problem to Needham does, where, like, drummers are just in need?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Totally. We're all in, like, 3 bands already at minimum.
So funny, yeah. The new tracks, Head Like Golden Unrest, are releasing next Tuesday. We've got a exclusive copyright to play Unrest very, very shortly. Can you say when the album's going to be releasing and what the name is?
Hey, I have no idea. I have no idea when it's releasing. I let too much out too early, I think, by even saying that there was an album. So I think I'm going to keep the title a secret for now.
Okay.
But I will announce that when it's time.
Easy as. Well, thank you so much for coming on the program and talking to me about this new release that's happening next Tuesday. It's so, so cool to have you on the show.
Thank you for having me.
My pleasure. Do you have any final thoughts, words, or opinions to leave our listeners with?
Take care of yourself, take care of each other. It's a crazy world out there.
It sure is. But thank you so much for making it more digestible with your bloody music. It's a pleasure. Alrighty. That was Demi Oshako. We're talking to them about their new double single release happening next Tuesday. We've got Unrest and Head Like Gold. We're playing Unrest right now for your listening pleasure. Then after that, and maybe another song, we'll wrap up the program with Kai Time. You are listening to Te Reo Irirangi Ko Tahi Ko Te Manakoa Kua Pai Te Ra. Ka kite.
Thanks for listening to Radio 1 91 FM podcast. All of our content lives online at r1.co.nz.